But Luis is going to talk to us about validation rules for Xamarin, and I will let you take it away, and I'll see you in half an hour.
Nice. Thank you. Hello. Let's start. I don't know. I'm seeing my face. Nice. So the topic that we have today is validation rules. But let's talk first about me. I'm Luis Matos. I'm, you know, a mobile developer. I use Xamarin, I think that 2017. And I have a small company called Maya Agency. And I don't want to talk about me, but you have all my social media there. You can follow me if you want. And I'm going to show you a lot of things. I share a lot of things there. So if you want, you can see it there. Let's start. Validation rules. Improve the quality of your Xamarin Form applications. That's the topic that we have today. And I hope that you can, you know, learn things, start using, you know, best practice, reusing your code, and be a better developer since today. Okay. If you go to any popular app with, a registration form, and you will notice that they provide feedback when you don't enter your data in the format that they are expecting. So you get a message social like, this field is required, please enter your phone number with this or that format, please enter a valid email address, your password needs to be between a something. All of these are validation. When you enter data, the app, the browser, the web server will check to see if the data is in the correct format. If the information is correctly formatted, the application allows the data to be submitted to the server. If the information isn't correctly formatted, it gives the user an error message explaining what needs to be corrected, and let them try again. So at the end, what they are telling the user is, we want the right data in the right format. We want to protect our user data, and we want to protect ourselves. That's what they say with that. So any app that I say input from user should ensure that the input is valid. Without validation, a user can supply data that can cause the app to fail. Validation enforce business rule and prevent an attacker from injecting malicious data. And not just that, client-side validation is like an initial check and an important feature for good user experience. By, you know, caching invalid data on the client side, and the user can fix it straight away. And in the same way, you can reduce the cost to your API, just telling the user to fix the data. However, client side validation should not be considered as an extensive, exhaustive security measure. Your app should always perform security check on your any input on the client side, as well on the server side. And you can see an example in the right side. And I think that everybody understands what I'm talking about, and all nice here, right? But what happened here? If you do all your validation manually, or you are not, you know, reusing your validation or your code, Houston, we have a problem. But don't worry, because that's why we are here. In the .NET ecosystem, we have different validation libraries. For example, in .NET Core, we have the class validation rules. By default, in system.windows.controls namespace, we have a validation rules class that you can use in your dApp. On the other hand, we have the most popular validation library for the .NET ecosystem that is called Fluent Validation. Everybody knows this library. It's well known. And if you are using reactive programming or React UI, maybe you will know React UI validations. Everybody, well, they know this library. And the last one we have, Plugin Validation Rules, that is the library that I built for the Xamarin Forms ecosystem. I need to say that Fluent Validation have support for .NET standard, but what is the difference between my library and others' library or the other library that we have already, right? The difference is that I care about the UI, and you will see why I'm telling you this. Let's see. So this presentation is going to be about the plugin validation rules, and we will see how this library can help you with all your validation. So plugin validation rules, the library that help you to improve the quality of your data using validation rules. Let's see what we can do with this library. So first of all, we need to add the rules that you want into your project. For that, you must add the class that derived from validation rules interface. And for this session, also create a validation rule template, an extension for Visual Studio that you don't need to be worry about to copy and paste code, because yeah, you have you already have the template there. So this is an example that I have here. Let me see if I, yeah. This is an example that I have here, a really simple example. It's not null or empty rule validation that I create. So what this does is only check if an string, because we are setting the string here, if an string is null or not. Is it right? Let's see. Once we have our rules, the next step that we need to do is create the property that we are going to validate. In this case, we need to use validatable object and all our property. And we don't need to care about property change, because internally, this library use property change for you. So once we have all our property, next step is add all our validations. So here we have some rules that we are adding in the same property. For example, we need to validate this email property. We have a validation there, and we just are is not null or empty rule, and we set an a message. And the other one is the email rules. If we want, we can just set those validation in this rule, but that's going to be dependent of what you need. Right, so so we have our properties, we have our validation, we add the validation to the properties. Now we need to validate the property. How we do it? Easy. We just call the property and call the method that the property have, that is validate, that is returning a bool that can tell you if the property is valid or not. And you can also see if the property is valid just calling the is valid property in the property. This is an example of how you can validate your property, where the magic happens, right? So you have your method, your validation method, and you can validate all your property that you have manually. If you want, you have all your logic there and just call, you know, I have here a simple validation logic that is just check if all the property are valid, right? But we can do all of this manually, or we can just create a validation unit. What this does is taking all your properties and will validate all of them for you. And it's going to tell you if all of those properties are valid. So once we have that, we can just bin our property. So here I have an example, and you can see that I'm binning my properties with the value, because you can bin your property directly. You have different property inside your property. So you have first your value, that is the input that the user is going to use. And then you have the error in this case. You have also the is valid property that you can use, for example, in a trigger. For example, if I want to show the error when I have the property that is not valid. But I know seeing code in a slide is kind of boring. So let's see what we have. What is it here? Nice. So I have some example here that you can see. For example, this is the example that I showed you in the GIF before. For example, I have a simple form that I want to validate. If I, you know, I have my name entry and I lose the focus, it's telling me, wait, a name is required. I do the same for the last name, saying, hey, a last name is required too. And hey, an email is required. So let's provide this information to the form, right? What happened here? I have an entry and I have the unfocused event. And when these entries lose the focus, what I'm doing is validating my property. The context is the view model that I passed before. Don't care about good practice and MVP and all of those things. This is just an example, and you can do it by command and by all of those things. This is just an example. So this is the way that these work. But let's see something interesting. The email, I do something. You know, email is required. Let's validate this. This form is not valid. Look the face. What I need to do, provide a valid email. Look at that. You have there the happy face and the form is valid. That's the first thing that you have. But what happened there? You have all your property in your model. And of course, we are using validation unit as an example and doing all the validation in one place. Here you can do, you know, you can have your validation method in the way that you want and using the way you want. But I'm going to show you a different way to do the same thing, but with better practice. So we have here the second example. Look at that. The same form, the same property, right? Let's see. What's the difference here? We have a validatable object user. We have our user. All of those properties are in one place. What happened? That we just need to validate the user completely. So I have this rule. What this is doing is all the validation that we did before in one place, all of them, one place. You can see here, but let's try. Oh, what happened here? Why I'm not getting the error message? What happened? Let's see our second example. So as you can see here, I delete the unfocus event. Why? Because in this one, I don't want to show the user the error message. I want to show them the message, the error message, when they validate all the fields at the same time. So let's see. For example, here, let's provide a name and let's provide an email. You can see this form is not valid because the email is not valid. But what happens if I delete the email? This form is not valid. An email is required, right? What happens if I provide the email? But I don't provide the name. This form is not valid. A name is required. Why? You can see the user rule that we have here. We have the validation here that what it does is first it's validating our name, then it's validating our email, but it's not validating our last name. Why? Because we want to the last name to be optional. That can be. So validate. This form is valid. Look at that happy face. So let's see the third example that we have. Let's see. Third example. What we have in the third example. Ooh, we have some interesting things here, but we have the same form, the same property, but with one difference, that we only have 30 lines of code. What happened with the code that I had in my previous example? What happened? I have here 49, and here I have, oh, we are reducing lines. Okay, so what I did here, I create a user validator that is a model, but with the difference that we have all our properties in this model that are validatable object. We have the name, we have the email, we have the last name, and we are initializing our validatable object, our property in our constructor. And we also create a validation unit there, and we add all the properties of the validation there. So we have all our code in one place, and you can reuse that code in different application. You can reuse the validation that you have, the validation rule that you have. You can reuse it in different part of your project and in different project too. You seeing this? But let's see how this works. If I do this, what happened? Oh, I do this, what happened? You see that? It's not that beautiful? Yeah, it is. Luis Matos, Luis Matos Luna, Roba, tararang.com. What happened? The happy face happened. You see that, but maybe you are telling that. Yeah, but that's basic. What happened with a real world application? Well, I have an example. This is an example, an internal app that I built. And I built this application because I wanted to use Chill. So we are using Chill here. We are using Carousel View. We are using a lot of things that you can use today in the Xamarin Form 5. It's not that amazing. Look at that. You can use shapes. That is shapes too. Look at this design with simple implementation. So, but let's see our validation in a real world application. I built this control before and check this behavior. And I lose the focus. Hey, provide a proper project name. You can see that. The description, the same. Hey, provide a proper project description. But what happens if I create my amazing app? You can see that. And my amazing description too. What happened? You can see that. That's a real world implementation. And I think that's that we have. So before we end this part of this presentation, I want to show you the library that I mentioned before. You can see it here. You can take a screenshot, whatever you want, and see those library. But I want to comment that I have this library. Let me see if I can. Okay, what happened here? I think that I'm sharing the. Splice setting, change screen. Okay, right. Sorry. this can happen. We are in live, right? So we have these properties, these libraries, but let me do this. I have this special library. This is a fork of my library. This is an, a merge of Fluent Validation and my library, Fluent Validation and the plugin validation rules that I create. But at the end, this library has the same, it's lacking the same thing that the other. That's for me, because it doesn't care about the UI. If you can see all the validation that I did, I just create the properties, and all that I did, that you can see all of those behavior were simple. Those implementation. Why? Because I have all the properties that I need there in that property. And I don't need to do anything else. So I think that's my part of this really amazing conference. And
Luis, that was great. Thank you so much.
You like it?
Of course. And yeah. I love your shirt too. We
sharing the summer in power. What?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
What?
All right. We do have a few questions. So let me bring up my tweet board. This one's from Sarunas. What would be the best practice to validate dependent properties? For example, if at least one of five checkboxes is selected.
You can do all your validation. So the logic that you use in your validation rules is yours. So it depends on you how you can validate all of those properties.
Cool. Very cool. Let's see what else we have. We have a question from the same person. I don't know if this is for your talk or the talk before. I think it's for your talk, though. Handling serialization and deserialization.
It's the same. At the end, the validation give you the context of, give you the tools that you need to use. Just, you know, you can reuse all your code and all your things, but you need to do your logic and all your validations. So at the end, you need to, you know, care about all of those things.
Awesome. Great. All right. That is all the questions I have for you. Nice. Thank you so much for joining us. It has been a blast. Yeah. Do you want to plug your blog real quick while we have a minute?
Yeah.
I think you had the slide up, but you know, just the website so we can go see it.
I think that I have it where. So for all of those people that I'm, you know, trying to get involved in the Xamarin world, we have a few things that can help you. And one of them is the Xamarin Universe community that we have 5,000 people there. And we have also, you know, the Telegram group. We have the WhatsApp. Well, the WhatsApp group is full. But we have the Facebook group, 5,000 people, the Telegram group with 700 people, something like that, talking almost every day. A lot of things there, asking about what they want, what they need, and how they can improve their skills. So this is my blog. My blog, you can see some, you know, blog posts about Xamarin. I do some posts about different things about Xamarin, Azure, AI in Azure, and how you can integrate all of those things to make your application intelligent. I have some comparison that you can see. I also share a lot of things in my social media. In Instagram, I share a lot of things that is related to the mobile world. So if you can see all of those things, you can follow me, see my blog post, and hope that you can enjoy it.
Yeah. All righty. Well, thank you so much. Enjoy your morning, evening, whatever time it is.